Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We'll start reading down in verse 21 and read through verse 27 in a moment. In this series that we have been into for about a month now, about the difference that Jesus makes, why Jesus? Why should I embrace Him as my Lord and Savior? Well, first and foremost, and this was the first message, it gives us a new relationship with God. It brings forgiveness and redemption to our lives, and we begin a journey, and it is a dramatically different journey. Then we also looked at the reality that coming to Christ will give us a new relationship with ourselves. Our worldview will change, and no longer will I view myself as the center of existence. Now I will begin to look outward and view others as valuable and highly important. Then last week we looked at the difference that Jesus makes within the family, how husbands and wives relate to one another, and the difference that that makes. Now today, we're going to talk about Jesus and the relationship, the new relationships He gives us within the body of Christ, within the church. And today I'm referring to the church primarily as the local body of Christ, but also as the church universal. Those believers in Christ, that part of the church family that we may never meet, or that we may meet occasionally, or we run into as strangers when we travel or when they travel. The church universal. You see, when we come to Christ, when we make that decision to open our heart and receive Him, we do the act of repentance and we follow Him and begin the journey with Him, Christ places us within the church, and He puts us within the church universal. Then along the line, He will place us within a local church, the local body of Christ. Here's Boyd Avenue Baptist Church. There are other churches meeting at this time across our community and really around the world at their appropriate times as local bodies of Christ. And He places us and He builds those churches within Himself. And if you look around and if you study churches, you'll find them to be radically different. They are as different as the individuals you see sitting around this place. There are little churches, there are great big churches, there are medium-sized churches, and there are churches of all in-between descriptions and descriptives. There are churches who worship differently. There are some that are very liturgical and very formal. There are some that are dramatically less formal than we are, and we're not a terribly formal church. The church my kids go to down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it is a big mega church. Runs, I don't know, 5,000 to 7,000 people on a Sunday will pass through their multiple campuses they have down there, and it's primarily in suburban Dallas-Fort Worth area, generally fairly affluent, and I make the joke that when you go there on a Sunday morning, the worst dressed people in the whole place are the staff. I mean, everybody else is dressed in slacks and shirts and you know that kind of thing. And it's not that they don't wear shirts other places, but and the staff will be wearing jeans, sometimes holy jeans, jeans that I had when I was a kid, but my mama wouldn't let me off the farm with them. But that's the style, and so it's all well and it's all good, and they do a great work for the Lord, but it's different. It's not wrong, it's just different. And we see a lot of things, and we see a great variety of the church, but the thing that they all have in common, that all Christian churches, true Christian churches have in common is our relationship we have with each other through Christ. And the format and the formula, those are secondary. But here, Paul is speaking to a church in Corinth. A church, when you read the whole book of 1 Corinthians, a church that had a lot of issues. And one of the issues they had was unity or a lack thereof. And so they struggled with that, and now Paul is pointing out the fact that they're a church, and he's talking to and about a local church body. And he's speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's saying, look, folks, you are one, and God has put everyone in your place. And what the Corinthians were having to understand, and what you and I need to understand as 21st century Christians, is the church is Christ's church. Christ is our foundation. Christ is our head. Christ is why we exist. Without Him, we wouldn't be here, and there would be no reason to be here. But in that, he places us within the body of Christ for very specific reasons. And Paul uses the description and the illustration of the body. And earlier in the service, I read an introduction to that about how the body is made up of many parts, but it's all one body. And he goes on and he describes this, and we're going to pick up the narrative in just a moment of this description, and how the church fits together and why it fits together. But what we have to understand that in Christ, we are given a whole series of new relationships. New relationship with God the Father, new relationship with ourselves, a new relationship with our families, and now a new relationship with one another, with the body of Christ, with the church, both the church universal and the church local. And in that reality, in that new relationship, there are some things that are vitally important that we have to understand about the church, where it comes from, how and why God builds it as He does, and what our job is within that body. Let's read about this together now in 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 27. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary, and those parts of the body that we think of less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor, and our unpresentable parts with better preparation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and the individual member of it. And he goes on with more of the longer narrative, but we're going to stop right there this morning. But what is Paul saying to the church? What is the Spirit of God saying to us today about the body of Christ and the new relationship we have with the body of Christ in Christ and through Him? Well, first of all, he is pointing out the very obvious and evident fact that every believer must see every other believer as valuable. In other words, every part of the body must see every other part of the body and its value. Now, we go to that because, first of all, it's incumbent upon us, for each of us, to figure out what our part of the church is. Where has God placed us? And you notice, he does not say here, God gives out a long list of parts and you get to pick your favorite. He says, God makes you the part He wants you to be. This is where our faith trusts the sovereignty of God and the wisdom of God. Whatever part God has placed you in within this church or within the church that you're a part of, that is a sovereign selection by the God of the universe. Understand that is a miracle. You have been chosen by God to serve a certain purpose and a certain function within the body of Christ. And that is fantastic. That shows you how important you are to God. God has something special for you. And if you have something special that needs to be done, you go to your most trusted employee, or you go to the someone that you think best suited to accomplish that. And so that means you're very special in the eyes of God. And we have no problem with that. We really like that. That's good preaching. That makes me feel good. I understand how important I am, especially to God, to the God of the universe. And why wouldn't I be? I mean, the reality is we attach ourselves. Now, sometimes we resist His will, and we try to pick out the part we want to be. The God says, no. The nose doesn't work good as an ear, and the ear doesn't work real good as a toenail. I mean, you've got to accept where God has placed us and work in that direction. Now, when we do that, we find ourselves, and what we normally come to the conclusion of is that whatever part God has placed me in or placed me as, that's the most important part. Because that's our egotistical humanistic nature. We have that and we see the value that we have. Now the point Paul is making to the Corinthian church and what we have to understand is that while it is absolutely true that you are essential to the body, And you are an important part, whatever part that may be. That you are a vital part of the church. What you have to understand, so is everybody else. The person sitting next to you, and that person sitting in front of you and behind you, the people sitting around you, the people sitting on the other side of the auditorium, they're also vital parts of the church. Every believer, every person who has accepted Christ and God has anointed them and worked in their lives and placed them within the body, it is a very valuable place that God has placed them, and they are of utmost value. And we have to understand that. And with a little bit of a spiritual and Christian maturity, we begin to look around and we begin to see that person is important. That person is vitally important. And it is essential that we understand that and that we see their value. That there is not a member or a part of the church in any realm or on any level that is not serving an essential purpose. You say, well, what about that person sitting over there? I've watched them in this church for 15 years, and I ain't never seen them do nothing. Whenever you're out of the will of God, you use very bad grammar. But the reality is you just don't know what they do. Maybe they're not part of the visible. Maybe they're part of the invisible part of the body. Maybe they're not the one that gets up and preaches, or the tremendously talented music group we have that leads us in musical worship. Maybe they're not the deacons or the Sunday school teacher or the children's leaders, the people that we see and hear that get up and do things. Maybe they are that private prayer warrior that, as Jesus instructed, goes into their prayer closet, not just Sundays at 10:30, but they go to that prayer closet on Monday through Saturday. And no one sees them in the closet because it's a closet. And they're in there and they're praying. And they're praying for the pastor and the service coming up Sunday. And they're praying for the music team. And they're praying for those deacons and those Sunday school teachers. And they hear about the prayer needs, the surgeries or the illnesses or the heartache and the heartbreak of life that other people that may be a part of this church may not be a part of this church. They're having, and they're praying over that. And they're praying about that. And they're taking these needs to the Father and they're laying them at His feet. And because they're a faithful servant, the Spirit hears that and sees that and honors that. And the person that we may think isn't doing much because we don't see them actively and visibly doing things, that they are really the underpinning and the support of all the good things that happen, all the mission work, all of the evangelism, all of the ministry that comes. It's a vital part, although it is rarely seen. It is essential to the body for it to grow and to succeed and to accomplish its purpose here. It's a vitally important part. And you've heard me say this before. On any given Sunday, when we gather here to meet, there again are the visible things that we see accomplished. You know, we understand that the music team has practiced and then they're ready and they prepared and they do a great job. And I assure you, I have actually worked and studied and prepared for the sermon that I am presenting, no matter how it appears. The reality is it takes preparation and work. But you see, there are 1,000 other things that happen. Well, maybe not 1,000. That's a Texas statement. Okay, dozens of other things that happens around here that nobody sees. Somebody shovels the walk. Somebody opens the building. Somebody makes sure that the facilities are in order. Someone makes sure there's somebody up in the nursery. And there are people up in the nursery right now that we can't see, but they're caring for the children up there, and they're watching over them. There's another group down in the basement below this room taking care of the children in children's church. All of these things require, we don't see it very much, but it happens. And believe you me, especially in the nursery, there's things going up on there you don't want to know about. They're changing stuff. They're doing things for the glory of God that aren't too glorious. But boy, how vital it is. How important it is. That part of the church, that part of the body that is willing to do that and to go there and do that. It's absolutely essential, and we have to recognize how essential it is. But he goes on, he says, not only do you need to recognize how essential it is, he says, once you come to that point of understanding of how important every part of the body is, it's important that you let that other part of the body know how important it is. Look what he says down here in verse 24. Sounds a little confusing, but this is what the point he's trying to get to. Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable. Now, here's the illustration. Now, again, the human body. We rarely in our culture, except when it's really cold or we're working, cover our hands. Our hands are presentable, okay? Usually. I did clean my fingernails. Okay, it's presentable. Now, at the same time, I have feet. And most of us don't show our feet. My wife encourages me to keep my feet up, my feet covered up, despite what the Bible says about how beautiful are the feet of the people who preach the gospel. Okay, that's a theological issue she and I debate. But the point is we cover our feet. Now, what we cover our feet with, generally, are socks and shoes. And I promise you, before I put socks and shoes on this morning, I washed my feet. I took trouble to make sure my feet were prepared. I washed them off. I cleaned them. I got them ready. I put the socks on. I put the shoes on at the appropriate time of the getting ready to go. And they were ready. Now, I didn't put anything on my hands. I didn't put gloves on. I did wash my hands. But I didn't, you know, do things extensively to make sure my hands were prepared. But my feet are the less honorable, the less visible, the less noticeable part. I put shoes on. And shoes cost money. You know, they have a whole section at Walmart just for shoes. And the women are going, what? Now, and they have whole stores. I've never been in one, but they have whole stores that have nothing but shoes in them. Again, but that's part of it. It's important. It's valuable. And the ladies are going, that's right, Pastor. It's valuable and I need. But that's the illustration. The parts that are highly visible may not need as much care and support as the parts that are less visible. Now, what's that mean? Not talking about shoes and gloves. He's talking about people. He's talking about parts of the church. He's talking about the part of the church that's visible, up here preaching and talking, the Sunday school teachers, the deacons, the parts that are visible. And then he's talking about those dozens of other things that nobody ever sees. What this is telling us is we need to not only value them, we need to make sure they know they're valued. We have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility to affirm one another in their part of the church, of what God, how God has placed them. Because you see, when God places someone as a, you know, as a foot or a knee or something like that, and it's a less visible part of the church than the, you know, than the head or the eye or the ear or whatever, it's still vitally important. But we need to affirm them. No one needs to leave this place today without being affirmed in Christ, without someone coming up to them and saying, thank you for what you do. Now, if you don't know what they do, you know, don't ask for the pop quiz. But understand, they are a vital part of the ministry. They're a vital part of the church. There is no one in this room at this moment. There is no one who's a part of Boyd Avenue Baptist Church who does not play a vital role, an essential role. And we need to encourage one another in that. We need to tell each other, you know, we appreciate what you do. We appreciate your presence here. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your spirit. We appreciate your smile. We appreciate your encouragement. We need to make sure that other people are aware that they are noticed and appreciated. That's our job. That's because we have a different relationship. That's because it's no longer about me. Now it's about you. It's no longer about what I do and whether I get appreciated. Now it's about me having the opportunity to minister to my brothers and sisters in Christ and tell them someone's noticing and someone cares and someone appreciates and someone encourages you. We are to be encouragers. That is the preparation that God tells us to make. That is our responsibility. Now, we have to understand the magnitude and the importance of this. I'm not talking about just trying to make each other feel good about coming to church, although that's good. I'm talking about understanding the vital role that everybody plays, whether you know what that role is or not. When we have missionaries come and speak to us, whether they're missionaries in Africa or South America or Asia or wherever they may be, we honor them and we should honor them because they are going and they are spreading the word of the gospel of Christ to the uttermost part of the earth. And that's our job. But understand that we, from someone's perspective, live in the uttermost part of the earth. That every person who is a part of the church and is carrying out their essential task is the same thing as the missionary who is serving in Africa or Asia or South America or wherever it may be. That this is our mission field and we have a responsibility. And that when that other person, that brother or sister in Christ, is fulfilling their essential part of the church, they are being just as vital a missionary here in Casper, Wyoming, as any missionary anywhere in the world. And we need to encourage them in that. We sit down with our missionaries and we tell them, thank you and good job, and we're going to be supportive of you. Do we tell each other that? Yes, we should. Yes, we should. That is your job. That is my job. That is our job. We'll continue conjugating later. But the truth of the matter is, this is what we're supposed to do. Why? Because we're a part of the body, and the body is essential. And every other part of the body is as essential as the part that I am. And my part is as essential as every other part of the body. And together as one body, we go forward serving and ministering and caring for people because we have a new relationship through Christ with each other. And it's a valuable and essential that we see that and that we participate in this part of the body, because in life, we just share life with each other. As a family, as a body, we share life with every other believer. Look what he says down there in verse 26. So if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. You hear what he's saying? He's saying Christians live life together. And every life, at one time or another, ye suffer and you rejoice. It happens. That's life. That's living in this fallen world. Now, when we're through with this fallen world, and we're in the glory that Christ won for us on the cross, and we're in the presence of God, and we've walked through the pearly gates, and we've gotten, you know, our mansion in our Father's house, and all those other good things that are going to happen in heaven, then there won't be any of that suffering. But until then, there's suffering. But it's not just suffering, it is also rejoicing. I know we have a tendency up here from the pulpit to talk about, you know, the suffering for Jesus and suffering in life and the difficulties. And they're real, that we're going to all experience them. But we're also going to all experience moments of celebration. Times to be thrilled. Times when we are honored. Times when we win. Times when things work out good. And here the church has a responsibility to live life with each other. When I see you hurting, it is my job to hurt with you. To have emotion, to do whatever I can, to offer the arms of Jesus as support and encouragement through that time of suffering, that we can walk through that suffering together. But when I look into your life and I see celebration, I see a time of rejoicing, I'm supposed to go, yoo-hoo, a lot louder than that. It's going to be like the Cowboys won the Super Bowl. A bunch of Bronco fans. Anyway. The reality is, it's exciting. And you have joys in your life. And we want to celebrate those joys with you. And we should celebrate them. You see, in the church, within the body of Christ, and we're all made up of people who at one time were sinners and now we've been transitioned into saints, there is no place in the church for rejection or jealousy. Neither one. When someone suffers, we aren't supposed to say, well, what do they expect when they act like that? Or see, look what transpires. They made their bed, let them lie in it. No, that is not how the church relates to one another. Even if they are suffering because of their own foolishness, we still hurt with them. And we still encourage them. And we still walk with them through the valley of the shadow because we walk to the other side. And at the same time, when someone has something great happens, when that friend of ours pulls the bull tag and all we get is nothing, we celebrate. We're not jealous. We're not angry. We're not selfish. We celebrate because of the goodness in their life and the joy that they have. And the happiness that comes from that. That's living life with each other. And that's what we're supposed to do. You should never have to celebrate alone. You should never have to suffer alone. Why? Because you're a part of the church. You're a part of the body. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts for it. When one part of the body feels good, the whole rest of the body feels good. My favorite part of my body are my taste buds. And when my taste buds are happy, the rest of me is happy. When my taste buds are not happy, not so much. But understand the silly illustration. That's the way it is with each other. That's the way we're supposed to be. That is where God placed us. That is responsibility He has given us. And that is what we're to accomplish. Let me share a truth with you. No one should leave this place today unaffirmed. If you leave this place unaffirmed or unencouraged, the rest of the body has failed. Now, do let me throw in a caveat here. Give us time to do that. If you, you know, if we say amen and you run over me opening the door, it's going to have trouble for us to encourage you. But let us love you. But make sure at the same time you love us back. And when I say us, I mean all individual and corporate combined. You can break it down. The reality is everyone should leave here affirmed. Everyone should leave here encouraged. Everyone should leave here comforted, whatever your need may be. It is our job as the church to see that that happens to you. Whether you're a part of the family, whether you're a long-standing member here, whether you have a long history with us, or whether this is your first time, you should leave this place affirmed. If not, we got work to do. And actually, even if you do feel affirmed, we still have work to do. Because this is a never-ending relationship. Just like with husbands and wives, that relationship never stops growing. So it is with the body of Christ. God has made you a part of the body. He has supernaturally placed you within the body and given you a task no one else can do but you. Accept that. Celebrate it. Observe others and celebrate what they do as well. Then the church is the church. Then the church can be the effective missionary arm that God has placed in this place. And we can reach out to our community and they can feel the love of Christ because the church is the church.